The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you. Fellowship.
Because I called and I didn't get
Is that okay? I went there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I wonder sometimes if you'd rather I just stick
with No, that was good. Okay. Praise the Lord. Got a couple of last minute announcements here. Most of you already received the announcement on the birth of Dan and Patty's new son, who weighed in at 10 pounds, 4 ounces. A whopper. And on the back table, we have a list. There's a ministry opportunity. Since they have had their child, it's a chance to share God's love and get to know a sister in the Lord on a more personal level. We have a list of dates from October 11th, which is Monday through next Sunday, where there's an opportunity to provide a meal for the Disler family. And if you feel so led to participate in that ministry, just sign your name to the date that you're able to do that. And I'm sure they would appreciate that greatly. We've been going through the Old Testament, and we've come to Leviticus chapter 13. And I look out here, and I don't realize how many women we do have in the church. So, my goodness. But we're going to pick up where we left off last week. I think we stopped at verse 6 in Leviticus. So if you would, open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13. And let's go before the Lord once more. Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your patience with us, Lord. And Lord, the reality that you will finish what you've started. That's so reassuring and refreshing, Lord, to know that you complete all things, you do all things well. And you began a work in our lives, Lord, and your word is working in us. And so, Lord, as we're going through the word, I pray, Lord, that the word is going through us and that you are fulfilling your purposes and that we're yielding to your spirit to allow you, Lord, to do the things that you desire to do. Lord, we know that you can do far exceedingly above all that we could ask or think according to your power that works within us. And so, Lord, once again, we yield to your spirit. We ask, Lord, that you'd open up our understanding to the scriptures and the things that are written here, that we might be the better for the coming, having received from you, from your spirit and your word. And so we give you the right of way as always. Give us ears to hear and give us hearts that are open. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I stated when we first started this study, Leviticus is a book that most skip over. And I don't believe that God wrote anything that's not important. He has a purpose for every book that he's written, every chapter, every verse. And sometimes it's a little difficult and tedious to read through the law or read through genealogies, but God has something there for us. And so my heart is that he would speak to us this morning regarding the things that he shared here. So, as I mentioned, we left off in verse 6 of chapter 13. We looked at chapter 12, where it talked about childbirth laws and personal laws during the time of women giving birth to daughters and sons. Prior to that, we looked at the fact that God cares about even our diet and the foods that we eat. And in verse 6, or chapter 13, actually, we're looking at leprosy, which I mentioned last time we were together, is a type of sin. It's a type of sin in many ways because it spreads, and sin spreads. Usually when you compromise in one area, you find yourself compromising in others. It's a type of sin in the fact that leprosy was beneath the skin, below the epidermis, just like sin is in the heart, where it originates and it manifests itself in the outward actions of those that are plagued by it. And the Bible tells us that we're all sinners and we've been diagnosed. You might say that God said, open your mouth, and we said, ah. And he saw that there was the poison of acid upon our lips and that the things that were coming out of our mouths and the actions of our lives were just things that were part of that deceitful heart that all men are born with. Nobody knows other than the fact that Adam passed his sin on to all men, how it's passed on, as I mentioned last week. You can't look under a microscope and say there's the sin DNA. Let's remove it so that we can create people without sin because there are none. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even when we saw last week in chapter 12 how the babies that were born, the mother had to offer up her offering because she was unclean during the time of birth. Why? Because she was bringing another sinner into the world. And there was a sacrifice that had to be made. And there was also the contamination of blood and the purification rites that had already been established under the law. But when we look at leprosy, we understand that we all have a form of leprosy in a sense. It's called sin. And throughout the Old Testament, there was only two people in the whole of the Old Testament that were healed by sin. How many of you remember who they were? In 2 Kings, Naaman was one of the individuals that was healed of leprosy. Marian, Moses' sister, had leprosy for a moment, but God healed it. It was never, throughout the Old Testament, a cure by man. In fact, I believe that chapter 13 and 14 speaks to the New Testament principles of leprosy, because when Jesus came, one of the ways that he proved that he was God, when John the Baptist said, "Are you the one, or is there another that should be coming?" He sent a message back and said, just telling that the lepers are being cleansed and healed. In fact, in the Old Testament, it only speaks about the leper being healed, and the New Testament talks about lepers being cleansed, because Jesus was in keeping with the type of sin, or the type that leprosy was of sin. You can't heal sin, you cleanse it. And that's what Jesus does for you and I when we go to him and we've been diagnosed. And, you know, it says in verse 6, after this person who was suspected of having leprosy was examined, after 14 days was, and it hadn't spread, in verse 6 it says, "And the priest shall look on him again on the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean." You know, those were sweet words if you were a leper or suspected of leprosy, because when you had leprosy, you were ostracized. You were isolated from your family, from the Lord. You couldn't go into the sanctuary. You were a loner. That's another way that sin behaves in the believer's life. You know, you find someone who's in sin as a Christian and he wants to isolate himself. He doesn't want to be around believers because conviction comes. That's the worst thing you can do when you're in sin, is to isolate yourself. The thing you need to do when you're in sin is go to the Lord and to his people. In fact, the Bible tells us, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together," which is the manner of some. And, you know, you can imagine someone who was waiting, isolated for 7 days. The priest comes back a second time to see if the problem has spread. He's been alone for these 14 days away from his family. And then all of a sudden, the priest tells him, "You're clean." Those were sweet words. And you can believe that he never lived like a leper anymore. Unfortunately, in the church, sometimes people are pronounced clean because they've come forward, they've said a sinner's prayer, and they profess to believe Jesus Christ, but then they leave and they live like they're unclean. And it's a travesty. It's a slap in the face of all that Jesus did for us on the cross, when a person who claims to be a Christian, and the great high priest, not Aaron and his sons, but the great high priest Jesus Christ, has pronounced you clean, and you go live like you're unclean. And I believe that these types that we're looking at in Leviticus speak of our great high priest and what he's done for us. He's pronounced you and I clean, regardless of how leprous you were. You've been made clean through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And so in verse 7 it says, "But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after that he had been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again." So he's isolated for a third time, inspected rather. "And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean." It is a leprosy. You know, contrast that to the verse 6 where he was pronounced clean, which was sweet news. But to be told that you're unclean, that's pretty horrible. That meant now you're going to be isolated. You're going to be cut off. You're going to be cut off from your family. You're going to be cut off from fellowship with the Lord in this particular case, because you couldn't go into the worship him in the sanctuary. Here, in this day and age in which we live, speaking from a spiritual position, there's a principle that's here that still stands. When you're in sin, you cut off your fellowship with the Lord. Just like Samson, he didn't know that the Lord had departed. He went on about his business as if he was going to be able to do his mighty acts of strength that he had been doing prior to his Nazirite vow being broken. But the Bible says he got up as he had always done, not knowing that the Lord had departed from him. Now, the Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us, but we can break fellowship with him. And the way that happens is when we are practicing sin as a way of life. Now, there's in 1 John, he tells us that the believer doesn't sin. That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? But what he means is, a believer doesn't practice sin as a way of life. Does that mean that you're walking perfectly and you never miss the mark? No, because none of us do. But the word that is used in 1 John about practicing sin is as if a man was on a tennis court trying to develop his swing. So he does it regularly to develop it and to get it better, or the golf course, or in a batting cage. And some people are like that with sin. And one of the things that sin, another thing rather, that sin has in common with leprosy is that it desensitizes. Leprosy, the disease would attack the nervous system. And the cooler part of the bodies would be the areas that would be affected first. The ears, the toes, the fingers. They would literally rot. Because a person that had leprosy could break a toe or a finger and would never know it. Couldn't feel any pain because his nervous system is destroyed. He could burn himself and not feel it. In fact, they say in some of the cases of leprosy in the past, when they were mostly Bedouins, rats would eat the toes and fingers and they would not even know it until morning because they were dead. Well, sin deadens the senses too in a different type of way. You're no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction when you sin and you practice sin as a way of life. When God's conviction comes, you're callous. The Bible describes it as being seared as with a hot iron. And you know what happens when you brand an animal, a horse or a cow or a bull. That area where you brand that animal, there's a scab and there's a thickening of the skin that comes about and there's no longer any feeling there. But you know what? When you, and I can tell you this, when I first got saved, one of the things that God did, and he did it for you if you want to be acknowledge this particular thing, but I had seared my conscience through years of rebellion. And when I accepted Jesus Christ, he had made my conscience so sensitive that I was convicted about even dropping a bubblegum wrapper on the property at Teen Challenge. I actually did it before I thought about it, and I went back and picked it up. I got out of the dinner, out of the chow hall, and went back and picked it up. Now that might sound absurd, but to me it was a good thing. Because God was dealing with me in areas that I needed to be dealt with. And he does that for every believer that accepts him. But you can ignore that conviction of the Spirit, that still small voice, and you can become dull of hearing. It's like having leprosy, where you no longer hear God's voice. You're no longer convicted. He's no longer able to guide you because you're not hearing. And so if this scab spread, he would call him unclean. And in verse 8 it says, and the priest see that, behold, the scab spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be a quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy, or a chronic leprosy, in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. There's no need to put him under observation, because it's clear that he's unclean. But I like this idea of describing it as a rising in the flesh, because that's what happens in our lives when we find ourselves sinning through unrighteous anger, You know, revenge, these things are work of the flesh. Strife, it's arising in the flesh, it's sin. And we've all experienced it. But it's one thing to experience, it's another thing to deal with it, to go to the high priest and admit it and ask for cleansing. So in verse 12, it speaks of, it says, and if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him, that even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, and he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague, it is all turned white, he is clean. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? But I think what we need to understand about this word leprosy, I don't think it's restricted to just this disease that we know today as Hansen's disease. He's the gentleman who discovered the basilica that's in Hansen's, in leprosy. They haven't found a cure, but they can't arrest it. And the Lord is saying here, it could possibly be something else other than leprosy here. This leprosy word encompasses, elephantitis, all kinds of skin diseases are under this particular word, but it's not the type of leprosy that we looked at earlier. Now, because he couldn't be clean if he had it in that way. But I'm sure when they observed him, because they suspected that he had leprosy, they set him aside for 7 days, and yet he had all of his fingers, had his ears, had all of his toes. So it wasn't leprosy if it was over his whole body, because it destroys in increments, just like sin does. And so this was some other type of disease that was not leprosy, but he was considered clean, but it had the appearance of. What does that speak to you and I? We shouldn't judge anything before it's time. In fact, I think it has an underlying exhortation to wait, to examine, to not make hasty judgments, rash judgments. We're all prone to do that when it comes to someone else, but we can be very understanding when it comes to us. We can rationalize why we did what we did or why we didn't do something, you know. But when it comes to somebody else, we can make a rash judgment. And I think this is, you know, God is never in a hurry. He took his time here to examine and had the priest do the same thing. And the priests here represent Christ and how he deals with us. He never makes a rash judgment to us. The Bible says he's long-suffering. He's not slack concerning his promises, not willing that any should perish, but is long-suffering towards us, wanting us to come to a place of repentance. Even as Christians, as I mentioned last week, if you're a Christian and you find yourself never coming before God to repent or to ask for forgiveness, then something may be wrong in your walk, because none of us are hitting the mark 100% of the time every day of the week. And you should keep your conscience sensitive to the leading of the Spirit so that you can hear God's voice and be led by Him. Otherwise, you can find yourself deceived. You know, some years ago, there was a gentleman that was part of our church. And his wife thought he might have been sick. And he had stopped missing church and he was making himself unavailable. And I went to his house. In fact, I was so concerned because I saw his car there and I had left cards on it the day before to call me and he hadn't. So I got the security in the building to unlock the door to let me in because I was concerned. And when I got there, I found out he wasn't sick. He had been on a crack binge. He was on crack. And I thought, how could this be? This guy made a profession of faith. You know, many of you might know people that have made a profession of faith and now they're doing things that were contrary to the walk of Christ. Well, there's only two possibilities. Either he was never saved and those words were just mouthing words with the heart not being part of it, because the Bible says you believe with your heart and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can confess with your mouth and your heart not be in it. You know, somebody can come up before this pulpit area, say the sinner's prayer, and their heart not be in it. And they can walk away the same as they were when they came up, unsaved. Or, He could have been a backslider. And I think leprosy speaks of sin in that way too, because nobody ever woke up one morning and said, I'm going to backslide today. I'm going to turn away from Christ. You know how it's done? In small increments, just like leprosy takes over the body in increments. A little compromise here, a little compromise there. And before you know it, you're desensitized to the voice of Christ. You don't have ears to hear the Spirit anymore. You're no longer opening up the Word of God. You're no longer delighted to be in fellowship with believers. You're doing your own thing. You're outside the camp, so to speak. And so, in verse 14, it says, but when the raw flesh appears in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest. You know, all this speaks about the fact that in order to receive salvation, it's not just saying, you know, I believe in God, I accept Jesus Christ. Many people have said that and it meant nothing. You have to see yourself as leprous, deserving of death, as a sinner. I don't believe that there is true conversion until a person really understands that he has a need, that he needs to be cleansed. And leprosy speaks of that, a need for cleansing. Sin speaks of that, a need for cleansing. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. Now, I like the idea that Jesus healed lepers. It was an incurable disease, but in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus cleansed lepers. He touched them. There's this big controversy about him breaking the law because he touched the leper. Well, they couldn't show the leper. Where was the evidence? He wasn't a leper after Jesus touched him. You know, he was no longer unclean. And so it says in verse 18, the flesh also in which even in the skin there was a boil and is healed. And in the place of the boil, there's a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if then when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. You know, I look at this and think how intricate this examination is. You know, they didn't have hospitals like we do, but they did some thorough examination. What if you and I examine our lives in the way that they examined for leprosy? And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. In fact, the Bible speaks it out. Before you go to the communion table, let a man examine himself. But you should do that on a daily basis, because we're to be in communion with God on a daily basis, so that His Spirit and His Word can govern the decisions that we make, the places that we go, the things that we do. Verse 21, but if the priest look on it, and behold, there is no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but of somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days for isolation and examination. And in verse 22, and if the spread, if it spread much abroad in the skin, then this priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. You know, as I mentioned before, sin, you never sin unto yourself. And unless you repent of sin that God convicts you of, it's destined to repeat itself and to spread. And these are some of the things that they use in examining. Verse 23. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. A burning boil could be because of there's just a infection there, or, but it's something other than leprosy. Or if there be any flesh in the skin where, verse 24, there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white, bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in a sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. You know, a burning in the flesh could be from something hot, or it could be from a burning fever, an inflammation that had the potential to become leprous. And sometimes, you know, when you think about, you talk to people and they'll tell you, well, this is my bright spot. When I'm with the boys, that's my bright spot, you know. And what that means is when they're sitting around drinking or doing things that they're not supposed to do, that's not a bright spot. It's leprous. Anything that you would consider a bright spot that is contrary to the word of God, that is against God's desire for you, that you call a bright spot, will lead you to a leprous or sinful condition. And so in verse 26, he says, but if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if he be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. Now I'm going to kind of pick up the pace a little bit. Not sure you don't mind that, but I just want to be able to say we did cover 13. And if the bright spot stay in its place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, so it's now going to the carnival. Come on now, we got to lighten this up a little bit. If a woman has a beard, she's at a carnival, but I'm sure he's talking about the man here. If a man or a woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in a yellow thin hair, and if a woman had a beard, you would want it to be yellow and thin. Sure, he's talking about the man though, but the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look upon the plague of the skull, and behold, it is be not in sight deeper than the skin, and if there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the skull 7 days, or this itching disease, you might call this. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave. And the priest shall shut him that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So there is no spreading. He's had his hair shaved in that one area, the skull, the cap that's growing. It doesn't be, you know, to go beyond there, then he's announced clean. But, verse 35, if the skull spread much in the skin after its cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull or this eruption be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. It's clear because it's spreading, just like sin. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, it doesn't go anywhere, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots. You know, when you get older sometimes, the pigment dies in the elderly. So this is what he's referring to here. Then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of the flesh is the darkish white, it is freckle spot that grew up in the skin. He is clean. Freckles are okay. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald yet he is clean. Now, he's suffered enough trouble. So he's clean. He's bald. You know, he's okay. And he that hath his hair falling from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald. He's okay, too. I mean, so there's back head bald and there's forehead bald. It has to be in the bald head or bald forehead, a white reddish sore. It is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. God wrote this. Thanks. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white and reddish in his bald head, does he have to say it that many times? Or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appears in the skin of the flesh, he's a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. Some of you wives might say that of your husbands, even if he has hair. His plague is in his head. But you know, all of our plagues are in our head. You know, that's where the enemy attacks often. In the mind, in the thought life, in the images that we see and that we surmise. You know, there was a story of a guy who in London who was a thief. And the first time they busted him, they incarcerated him. The next time they busted him, they chopped off his hand, his left hand. But he became efficient with his right hand. They chopped off his right hand. Well, the odd thing about this gentleman is that later he became proficient in stealing with his teeth, because it wasn't a matter of his hands or his feet or his teeth. It was in the heart, just like leprosy, inside. You know, if it's in the heart or it's in the mind, you know, the thought is the mother to the deed. Anything that you do sinfully, you think about it before you carry it out. The thought is the mother to the deed. And so in order to change this guy, they need to change his heart. Not chop off his ability to do it conveniently, because he found a way. And it proved is that he was a sinner who hadn't changed. He was a thief who hadn't changed his heart or his mind. You know, sinning doesn't make you a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. That's the reality of the human condition. A guy stealing a horse doesn't make him a horse thief. Think about that. Just because he stole a horse doesn't make him a horse thief. He was a thief already in his heart and in his mind before he did it. The same is true for you and I. Those things that we do that are contrary to God, that we don't yield to him and don't allow him to cleanse us and give us a new mindset about. We come into this world as sinners. As we've often said, nobody taught their little kid how to lie. Now, little Johnny, here's how you lie. They do it by nature. And what we need to do is lead them to the cross where they can be cleansed and given a new nature so they can overcome that propensity to lie. And so as we go on, verse 46, it says, "And all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone." As I mentioned earlier, sin isolates. Without the camp shall his habitation be. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp, which is if you have a loom, the warp was the vertical and the whoop was the horizontal. Of linen or woolen, whether in the skin or anything made of leather, which is what skin was here. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, whether in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut it up that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day, if the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the skin or anything that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting or active leprosy. It is unclean. You know, as we go on here, it tells us what to do with that garment. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or anything of skin or leather or whatever, wherein the plague is, for it is an active leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire, like those things that are stained by sin or destined to be burned. In fact, when we stand as Christians before the Bema seat, we won't stand before the white throne where the non-believers will stand, but we will stand before the Bema seat and be judged by God for those things done in the body. And it says those things that are of the flesh will burn. Those things that on the outward people might have thought look really wholesome and holy, but God knows the motivation of our hearts. And those things that are done selfishly, that weren't done for Christ out of a pure motive, will burn. Will only be rewarded for those things that were done inspired by God's Spirit for His glory. Those are the things that we'll be rewarded for. And so sin, like those things stained by sin, had to be burned. And if the priest shall look and behold the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed its color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appear still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of the skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof, or whatever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or in the woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Now we're just going to cover the first 7 verses of chapter 14. And this is one of the verses that I think when Jesus cleansed the leper and he had to tell the leper to go to the priest, it was a direct witness to that priest that the Messiah was there. Up to the time that Jesus came, other than the 2 times I mentioned in the Old Testament where God intervened and healed leprosy with Naaman and Marian, it had never been cured or healed or cleansed. So he says, and the Lord spake, verse 1 of chapter 14, unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp. Notice the priest goes to him. As I've often said, people testify that I found the Lord. Nope. Wrong statement. He wasn't lost. We were. He came to us. Now, there is a point where we made a decision, but God was the one who initiated. We just responded. And so here the priest goes forth out of the camp, verse 3, and the priest shall look and behold of the plague of leprosy. If the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. What a remarkable enactment of an illustration of what God does for you and I. Get the picture here. I believe these birds were probably white doves, turtle doves. One was killed with water running into an earthen vessel. The other bird was dipped into that bloody water, and then he was released. And as the cleansed leper would see the bird flying away, you know, it reminded me of when I first got saved. It was like a veil was taken off my eyes. I started to see for the very first time. There were plants that I had seen for years, and I never really appreciated the colors in them. There were birds that were singing around my house that I really never paid any attention to. It was just a noise. But after becoming a believer in Jesus Christ and looking at creation from a different set of glasses, so to speak, I began to appreciate everything that God was doing. And I'm sure as this guy saw this blood dripping off this bird, representing not only the crucified Christ, but the resurrected Christ, because both were represented in the two pigeons, he thought about the new life, that he's no longer isolated. And this is something that was not experienced until the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus has just finished giving the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, which is why we call it the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He bowed down to the Lord. He believed that he was God. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I can imagine when Jesus touched this guy, if he had lost his fingers, that they started popping back in, you know. And this had never happened. But notice what Jesus says to him, which relates to what we just looked at. And Jesus said unto him, verse 4, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, the very things that we've been looking at, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. See, I find that fascinating. In the Old Testament, and at this particular time, well, not the Old Testament, the New Testament, when you were healed, before the crucifixion, Jesus told those who were healed not to tell anyone, and he couldn't help but go tell it. In our day and age, he tells us to tell everyone. And the average Christian don't want to open their mouths. There's something wrong with that. Because we've been healed from a form of leprosy too. It's called sin. It took a leper about 20 years to die. Takes you and I about 70 or 80. Same disease, same outcome. And yet God says, I now heal you. I give you life eternal. I pronounce you clean. Go tell others that have the same disease. And I believe that's our first responsibility is to be in fellowship with him, so that we might be empowered, that we might be changed, and that we might have a clean life to go represent him to those that have sin or the disease of leprosy. The Bible says Christ came to set the sinner free. He didn't come for the good. There are none good. There's none righteous. Even though, you know, a person can live a extremely moral life, and there are some people that are more moral than others. But there's no man that can go before God and say, hey, let me into heaven because I've been living a good life. I've been a moral person. Because even that moral person is a sinner. Pride is his problem. The root cause of all sin is pride. It's the sinner letter in it. What's the sinner letter in pride? I. Me, myself, and I. And when we start thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, we're full of pride. The Bible says that there are none righteous. And he didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. That's where repentance starts. When I say, yes, I missed the mark here. God, I need your help. God is willing to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to have you start on a new path. And for sometimes, I think that this is something that Christians need to be reminded of. I don't know where everybody's heart is that's in this facility right now. I would hope that everybody's made a commitment to Christ and knows exactly what I'm talking about. But if there isn't that understanding, then maybe God is saying, today is the day for you. But there may be some Christians in here that are just compromising and thinking that God's okay with compromise and okay with practicing sin as a way of life. He's not. He doesn't want us to take his love, his sacrifice for granted. I mean, I think it was Bonhoeffer that coined the phrase cheap grace. There's no such thing as cheap grace. And that was the point that he was trying to make. That it cost our Heavenly Father everything when he sent his son to become a human being. It would be like me becoming a gnat and being squashed. Coming from a human being to a gnat. And I don't even think that even compares. That's a poor illustration. We're talking about a holy God who created the heavens and the earth becoming mere man to become your substitute and my substitute so that we wouldn't have to suffer eternally. I've had people share this right down the street here at this bar. As I was witnessing a couple weeks ago, a guy told me, well, when I go to hell, all my buddies are going to be there. I said, you got the wrong picture. I said, you'll be in total darkness. But an eternal fire that will not be quenched alone if you don't receive Jesus Christ. Don't go for that lie that, you know, all my buddies going to be, it's going to be one big party. No, that's not what the Bible describes hell as. He's desired to avoid, have us avoid hell by his sacrifice. But I can tell you those that are outside of the covenant, they have a picture of what eternity is like that is a myth. And I believe in light of everything that's going on right now in our world, that the Lord is coming soon, maybe in our lifetime. How many of you are 30 or over? That's over 2/3 of you guys here. I can guarantee that the Lord will be for you within 100 years. Without a doubt. But he may come sooner than that. And I don't want to have anyone in that group when they say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these wonderful things in your name? We cast out devils. We heal the sick, you know. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And there are a lot of those guys on TV right now. But I would hate to have one of them be a member of Calvary Chapel. And the way you do that is acknowledge that you're a rank sinner. The way you avoid that, rather, is to acknowledge that you're a rank sinner in need of a Savior, in need of cleansing. Father, we thank you that you are our great high priest and you've examined us and you found us all, Lord, to be leprous. And Lord, we agreed with that diagnosis, the leprosy of sin. And we've confessed our sins to you. We believed in our hearts, confessed with our mouths, Lord, and we received your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're looking for that day when we're going to be with you. We're looking for the time, Lord, when we'll be removed from this corrupt world and placed in an environment that's totally beyond our comprehension. And Lord, we want to be found doing your business when you come. We want to be leading others to you, Lord. Introduce them to the great, awesome God that we serve. That they might experience the joy that we have. Lord, we know that you didn't come to make us happy. You came to make us holy. And with holiness comes happiness. If we're holy long enough, we'll experience happiness. But Lord, if we pursue happiness apart from holiness, we'll never grasp it. So Lord, make us a holy people that walk in obedience to your word, Help us, Lord, to acknowledge those areas that you're dealing with us about, and that we would not try to cover them up, but we would be transparent to you, the one who loves us with a perfect love, that you might empower us and change us into the image that you desire us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we all stand?